What is up, boys and girls and everything in between? It's Bear With Us. I am Matt. She is Leah. Leah, how are you, my dear?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm spectacular. I am very excited that our first foray into the new year, the first episode of Bear With Us Season 2, was wildly successful.
Was it?
I mean, I think by our standards, it was quite successful, particularly considering we did most of the heavy lifting on our own.
I know. I'm so proud of us. Who are we?
I'm not entirely sure.
I think I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a tech wizard, but I don't know.
You are a bit of a, you're a budding tech wizard.
Love that for
you're
me.
You're a tech wizard in training, a.k.a. a twit.
Babe!
Anyway.
Better than a twat, I guess.
I suppose so. Think of the growth we've both made since we moved into a new house. I'm like super handy now. I spent the entire day building stuff.
Yes, I'm so proud
furniture.
Of you. You are great with your hands.
I fixed many things in the house thus far.
Yes.
Considering that just a matter of months ago, when we still lived in an apartment and had a handyman to do all that stuff, I relied solely on our handyman. But since we've moved into this beautiful, palatial new estate, I've become Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Well, that's the issue when you have your your own house. There's so many things that happen that you can't just call someone, hey, my light bulb went out. Hey, the refrigerator doesn't work. It's like you have to do all the work, which is kind of annoying.
So basically what I was doing is setting you up to tell me nice things about myself and this new skill set that I have developed. Because last week I talked about how impressed I was
right.
with your
Babe, I am
technical
so impressed
wizardry.
By you. I am so turned on. I just want to do you every second.
I can see you're wearing your Britney Spears leopard print costume.
I'm feeling good today.
You look great.
I'm excited because we're going out with our friends tonight. We're going out for dinner on a little double date. It's been a minute since we've been out with them properly without kids and without holidays and moving and all of the bullshit. So I'm so excited to just go out with our friends, have a good night.
Everybody, you just shattered everyone who listens to this. They're illusions that we have this incredible social life and seven nights a week. It is posh restaurants and fancy cocktails and rock and roll shows and all the great things that the earth has to offer when realistically we've struggled to leave our couch for the better part of the last week.
The last month, I mean, when we're not working or dealing with the holidays and all that, like every last week we did the same thing. We just sat on the couch all week and it was great. I mean, basically, that's what we did for New Year's. I hope everyone listening had a happy New Year and everyone was safe and had a good time.
This is, I was thinking before we started recording, this is technically the second episode of 2022 for Bear With Us. But it's the first one we've actually recorded in the year of 2022.
Right. We record our episodes about a week out, so we have time to edit them and get everything in order for the social media and all of that. But yeah, we had a pretty good New Year's, I would say.
It was low-key, but it was perfect. And I find that we're not the only ones. A lot of people that we work with or that we talk to, once you hit a certain age, New Year's Eve just kind of becomes another night.
Yeah.
And I know we were actually talking to the Uber driver, RuPaul.
Yeah, he was so RuPaul. He was so fabulous. I loved
him. Fantastic. But the drive over, he was saying how he couldn't wait until 12:15 because he was going home.
This was on New Year's, our Uber driver on New Year's Eve.
Because people just get to a certain age and it's just not worth the headache anymore. You know, we were on the road for work and you, being the Yelp queen, dug up quite a lovely little restaurant. We had a fantastic dinner.
A nice dinner. We got dressed up and then we were back in our hotel room by 9 p.m. We were doing it right. We got to avoid the crowds, all of like the crazy drunks that are out. Because I think New Year's is a lot like, what's the other holiday?
St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day, yes.
Amateur hour.
Amateur hour. It's everyone that doesn't go out every other week or whatever during the regular parts of the year and they decide to go out on New Year's Eve and you just, ugh, it's a bunch of waste.
It's no secret. I'm a fan of a beer for basically any occasion and I love a good cocktail and I like to get after it from time to time. But just the thought of going out in public and socializing on New Year's Eve or St. Patrick's Day to me, I recoil in fear. I cannot think of a situation I would less like to be involved in at the age that I'm at now.
Yeah, I just prefer not to be around people in general. So if we could be at our hotel room or home on our couch avoiding the general public, I'm in.
So since we've been gone in August of 2021, Leah has become a full-blown hermit.
Well, I've always been a hermit. I just like to do my own thing. I just don't like to socialize. I just have social anxiety, I think, sometimes. But that's just me.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. It's just you, and we navigate around it rather successfully.
We really do.
But as we were brainstorming for what to talk to you, the Bear With Us faithful, regarding this week, we actually came up with something.
Yeah.
Something that could be potentially kind of big.
Yeah, huge, I would say.
We've talked since the inception of this show about the tenets of our relationship that work well for Leah and I. Honesty, communication, and sex.
Sex being maybe the most important.
Arguably the most important, because that remedies lack of communication many, many times. But we were talking about just what we've been through in the past few months, and we should have a ton of things to talk to everybody about, and we do. It's just a matter of finding something off the top of your head after you've got a four-month window now of, like, so much has happened, and we've had so many discussions and arguments and said, oh, we need to talk about this on the podcast, but neither of us have the forward thought to actually take notes or write things down.
I actually have some in my notes in my phone.
All right. Well, I don't take forward thought and prepare for this here podcast. But as we were discussing, we were trying to just flesh out how to talk about the subject, and it sort of morphed into what potentially could be tenet number four. It's that broad. It's that overarching. But it affects so many aspects of every relationship, not just mine and Leah's, but everyone who has another relationship with another human being likely will relate to what we're talking about. And Leah, would you do us the honors?
Yes. So for us, I think our fourth tenet is accountability, holding yourself accountable and not being complacent in your relationship. And the reason why this got brought up is because I have been slacking lately.
Well, I'm going to give it some context from my point of view.
Okay.
I've never said anything to you overtly or intentionally, or you've been going through some stuff lately.
Yes.
And you've felt, and we talk about on this show, anyone that's listened to this more than once, one of us is always quote unquote off.
Right.
And it's been your turn to be off for the past few weeks. It hasn't led to contention. We haven't been at one another's throats or argumentative or whatever. You just haven't felt yourself.
Yeah, I'm injured. I'm working through an injury. When you're in pain, you're not yourself. You know, you're just kind of a little grumpy, maybe a little irritable. And for me, I am so independent. I think anyone who's an avid listener understands how independent I am. I like to do what
I want. Fiercely independent.
What I want, when I want, how I want. And I haven't been able to do that. You know, even especially with the holidays and setting up for the holidays, we host Christmas Eve. And so we did that this year. And I'm was trying to set things up around the house, but I'd be like, babe, every 5 seconds, like, can you reach this for me? Hey, can you grab that for me? Can you do this? And I had my sister there and then your kids. So I'm asking everyone to kind of pitch in and be like, can you do this? Can you grab? And it was just driving me nuts. And that in and of itself put me in a bad mood because I couldn't do the things that I want to do.
You were frustrated.
So frustrated.
Physically speaking, you were unable to do basic tasks that we do around the house all day, every day.
That you take for granted. Things that, like, even cooking, or like if I'm standing up too long, I'm like, oh, I need to take a seat, and I couldn't even wear high heels. It was like, what the hell? I was just so frustrated. So that was just really weighing on me. And then again, not feeling myself. And I just felt like I've been kind of coasting, you know, not putting in an effort. I just feel like I have been slacking as a fiance, as a partner. And I'm not saying I just am like, ah, oh, fuck you, you're on your own,
But I think that's important, because it wasn't like we had some long-standing argument or issue, or I wasn't upset with you.
Yeah.
I'll be perfectly honest, I got annoyed at times when I would, you know, want to be sitting comfortably on the couch watching a show or a movie or something.
See, this is why I hate it, because I feel like I'm an imposition.
No, and I'm not faulting you. Let me finish this, because I'm not saying this to disparage you. Just as a dude, as a human being who is content and comfortable sitting on the couch watching TV, and all of a sudden it's, hey, babe, can you come do this? Babe, can you carry this down the stairs for me? Hey, and I understand it. You're dealing with an injury.
Well, it's wildly a wild contrast from how we normally are, because I never really ask you to do normally, like, if I want something to be done, I just do. Something that you could do, I'll do it too. I don't care.
Like, when I ask you to stop swearing so much on this show, you completely ignore it.
I know.
Throw it right out the window.
I'm so bad at that.
But we weren't having an argument or a disagreement. But I commended you today when we were talking about the last few days, in that I thought it was really awesome how you kind of course corrected on your own. Like, yes. You realized, okay, I haven't been there like I normally have. And I, knowing the situation, tried to kind of tiptoe around it because it wasn't an issue. It wasn't a problem. Right. It wasn't like, I'm so sick and tired of this. It's been a couple weeks. It just wasn't the usual vibe.
Right.
And how you opted to course correct was very, very exciting for me because we don't usually hold much back here on the Bear With Us podcast. Let me just say to anybody listening, the other night after we had done all of our tasks for the day and everything had been pretty much completed, the house was cleaned, everything was in order due to a dual effort because you're feeling a little bit better. You're a little bit back to mobile at least.
Right.
And let me just say, guys, there are very few sights to behold quite like my beautiful better half strutting down the stairs and leaving little to nothing to the imagination and just going for it. And, you know, we know what ensues in the moments after that, so as to not get caught in all those details, although I really want to talk about what we did in the kitchen. Anyway, once it was done, it was like, I even asked you, what was that for? Like, where did that come from? Because there was no lead up. It wasn't like, oh, hey, we're getting hot and heavy or there's something sexy or romantic happening. It was just kind of out of the blue. But you had a very valid reason.
Yeah, I just was like, I know I've been slacking lately. I know I haven't been on my game. I haven't been the fiance or the partner that I should be. And it was kind of my way of like, A, thanking you for you helping so much the last few weeks and understanding. And B, just like, yeah, I'm still fucking here and we're still in love. And I just really wanted to, you know, remind you of that.
But the way that you handled it actually leads us to, I guess, two more branches of this conversation. The first being that you shouldn't have to thank me. It's part of the deal being in a relationship. Put that bookmark there because I want to get to that in a second. The other was how we've talked about it amongst ourselves. And I'm sure a lot of people have the issue where, once you're done with an argument with your partner and the anger has subsided and you're ready to move on, there's a lot of times like that awkward period where you know you're not mad.
Yeah.
You assume that your partner's not mad, or maybe you think they still are mad.
What happens when you assume?
Thanks,
it makes
baby.
An ass out of you and me. I just had to.
I didn't mind it because you're dressed like Britney Spears right now, so it felt a little festive. But there's that awkward period that I think a lot of people have. We have it. I would assume most people do, where you're just like, okay, so now what? And you kind of ease into it. And more often than not, when we get to that point, I try to break the ice with like a stupid joke.
Same. We usually just try to make each other laugh or kind of give each other over whatever it was we were arguing about.
Right.
Like, hey,
we'll
remember that time
about
you tried to do this?
What we just argued about for real.
Yeah.
It kind of breaks the tension. And that helps. But you kind of just jumped right over all that and went right into it. And I don't know that that's going to solve every argument or, and again, back to the initial point, we weren't having an argument, but it fixed the awkwardness because you were just like, hey, I'm feeling some kind of way. I was happy to oblige. And by the end of it, it was like, oh wow. Are we like, we felt close to back to normal.
Yeah.
Just with that one, it was just very like, okay, maybe we just both need to release a bunch of tension, move on with our life. And it was what it was.
But to your point that you were saying earlier about bookmarking it, there's no, like, it's okay and normal in a relationship to not be on all the time.
Sure.
You can't always just be happy and want to have sex all the time and not argue and not,
I
know you're going to have something to say about that, I know. But, you know, it's not perfect. It's a relationship. It's work, and you have to put in an effort. And once you stop putting in an effort and you stop trying, that's when it's going to go downhill. And I think it's okay to have awkward weeks or awkward, sometimes it might be months. I don't know. Every relationship is different. And I think every relationship, you know, you kind of have chapters and seasons and you kind of like go up and you go down.
Ebb and flow.
Yeah. And I just think once you have to recognize that, though, you have to do some self-reflection. And that's like, I was in the shower that other day when that happened. I was just like, damn, I have been off my game. I really need to pick it back up. And I felt that and I knew it. And I even knew it in it, but there was nothing I could do at that time. I wasn't ready to move on, you know?
And again,
I feel
this
like that
this isn't going to be a catch-all, solve-all answer because we weren't mad. We weren't feuding. It wasn't a rivalry at the moment. It was just – but to your point, you recognized you were accountable. You realized, okay, hey, I'm not bringing what I normally bring to the table in this relationship. Conversely, what makes this all the more glaring is we were discussing this podcast, basically, and you brought to light the fact that you essentially are doing most of the wedding planning. Like, when I say most, I mean like 98%. Like, I'm around for, you know, an easy decision here and there. But you've been handling a lot of that. So, today, when you woke me from my slumber, which wasn't really a slumber, it was more of a, I was dozing off into a nap at about noon, watching Hoarders.
Right.
And you just pranced on into the bedroom and said, "Babe, I need you to do me a favor," which included building several pieces of furniture, nightstands.
For my closet. If you have looked at my Instagram at all lately, I have this beautiful custom walk-in closet. We converted a bedroom in our new house into my closet, and I am so obsessed. But I needed some nightstands, some drawers to be built. And, I mean, honestly, I can't do it right now anyway because of how my body is. And second of all, I'm like, you know, I've been really busting my ass with this wedding planning and doing this stuff, everything for the podcast behind the scenes. So I'm like, I don't feel bad asking him to do this because, again, it's all about give and take, and we're a partnership, and I didn't feel bad asking you.
No, and nor should you. And that's the role that I fill, and I'm, as I joked about before, I'm Tim the Toolman Taylor now. But what was most frustrating to me was wherever the hell this furniture came from. It was not IKEA, which I have a love-hate relationship with. At least I know what I'm getting into when I see an IKEA piece of furniture that I'm going to build. I know that this is going to take some time. This one, I had no real gauge on what it was going to look like. And within about 20 minutes, I felt like I was doing quantum physics.
Oh, my God.
There were different tools that I needed that I'd never even realized I had. There was so much happening, so it was overwhelming. But I got it done, and it was what it was. And then, hey, it sounds cliche, happy wife, happy life. I came up, got the job done. You had time now to do what you needed. You know, amongst yourself, you went and took your fitness classes, did whatever. And it was like, oh, hey, we were sort of productive today. On to the next. Like, let's move this. And I think it's, you kind of hinted at it. It's scary, I think, to some people. And it's glaring for us now because we are engaged. We're going to be married in 4 months.
No, 3 months.
God, I just said that out loud.
That's so crazy. 3 months.
Made my heart sink.
That's, again, why I'm so stressed out, you guys. Wedding planning. I've been planning all of this stuff in such a short period of time.
For a date that you set, by the way. But we won't spend too much time arguing that. But I think a lot of people, you mentioned how when you get into a relationship, everyone changes. We talk about this all the time. The person you go out on your first date with is not the person you end up with, whether you're together 2 months or 30 years. People change. People
we grow all grow evolve. Throughout life.
But it's important to hold yourself accountable to at least the major aspects of who you are. And I know a lot of guys do it. It's almost cliche. It's like a joke or a meme. You get married, you just sit on the couch, you get fat, you stop taking care of yourself, and you become a lazy, you become Al Bundy.
You're complacent.
You become Al Bundy, and you sit on the couch. You go to work, and you come home and sit on the couch, don't want to be talked to. Yeah. Do I have days like that? Absolutely. We all do. But you can't, and I think that's probably, I'd be willing to bet that's probably one of the biggest killers of relationships across the board.
Well, you have to try. You can't get lazy. Like I said, it's going to happen from time to time, whether it's a few days, a few weeks, a few months of being lazy or being complacent. You're just in a funk, and that is life. It's normal. It's okay. But you have to be able to pull yourself out of it or have a partner that can help pull you out of it and be like, hey, I know you haven't been yourself as the last month or two. Let me help you. What can I do? Let's figure this out together, because that's your job. Being in a relationship is a job. It's hard work. And if you don't want to put in an effort, don't be in a relationship, because no relationship is perfect. Everyone is going to fight. Everyone's going to have issues. You're going to go through, I'm going to go through. There's so much we're going to go through that we don't even know about yet, but we have to be willing to put in the time and effort to make it work. Otherwise, what is the point?
To hold ourselves accountable to our roles in the relationship.
Yes.
Whatever that may look like, whether that means building furniture, I don't want to, because, hey, you've picked up the slack in other areas of life. And again, I'm sure everyone listening to this don't have the same exact set of issues, but I guarantee you, if you've been in a relationship, you've had like, oh, man, he used to really do this all the time, or he used to be romantic, or oh, he used to buy me nice things, or whatever it is that gets you going. Not to say that you're not going to evolve and you have to buy people nice things every day, but it's on you to realize, like, hey, I did this thing, or I brought this to the table that makes my partner happy. So it's almost unfair to your partner to just let it evaporate. No, and I get you may not be able to do it as frequently, and life circumstances change, but I think it's of the utmost importance to think, like, hey, we are really happy right now. Almost take like a mental snapshot of what your relationship is and the aspects that you really like. And I think it'd probably work both ways, where you think, like,
when
oh,
it's bad,
when it sucks, you know, but be prepared for that.
Yeah.
Be prepared and be accountable enough to yourself that if your partner raises a question or says, hey, do you remember when we used to do this thing? Why don't we do that anymore?
Right.
You used to be, you know, so romantic. You don't even feel like you're trying anymore.
Right. And that, again, communication. That's why it's important. And you can't read your partner's mind. I can't tell, like, hey, he's mad at me because I haven't tried XYZ in forever. I don't know. You have to communicate that to me. Or if I know there's something you like, and then I have to, again, that's what I've been doing, self-reflecting. Okay, I need to hold myself accountable. I haven't really done this in a while. Let me make it up to him. And it's funny, though. I'm thinking, think back to when we first started dating and hanging out and the things that we would do for each other. And then look at where we're at now, and it's like, oh, you built a piece of furniture for me. That's really hot. You know, it's funny how things change
over
time. You
looked at me crooked when I asked you out to a date to IKEA. I wanted to really show you what my skill set was made of.
But it's so funny how we just all grow and change. And you have to be willing to find a partner that wants to grow with you, because – if you're growing this way and I'm growing that way, or I'm not growing at all, then what are we doing? You have to evolve and change at the same time. We're getting real deep over here.
No one makes me grow quite like you do, baby.
Baby. Oh, my God.
No, and you said that you can't read my mind, but as we proved yesterday, I can, in fact, read yours.
That's so true. Can we talk about that for a second?
Go for it.
So we're on the couch. Again, yesterday was a crazy day. We took down all the Christmas decorations, and we just had a day very, very productive. And, again, sitting on the couch, and I'm, like, looking at Matt in his eyeballs, and I'm like, guess what I'm thinking right now? And his first thing was, you want a snack? Because I always
it's a valid
eat, I
answer.
Eat so
it's
much.
A reasonable first yes. response.
And that was clever and not wrong. And I said, no. I said, give another guess. And I swear to God, you guys, we're staring at each other, and I'm looking at him, and I was putting it into his head, and he goes, you want to go upstairs and take a shower together? I'm like, yes! I my mind was blown. I was really telepathically sending that to you. And that's why we're always on the same page.
See who says men don't pay attention.
I know. I'm like the mentalist. Or I'm just mental. One of the two.
I vote for the latter. Babe, I think we've been rambling long enough. But
you think?
I think we have. I think there's a rather essential part of our program that the people want.
You gotta give the people what they want. It gets the people going.
It's not a Yankee Doodle WAP mashup.
Oh my gosh, did you guys love that or nah? That was really bad. I wish I could have kept it going, but I just was trying not to swear that much, you know. Yankee Doodle went to town.
No,
what if I do Blue singing Yankee Doodle? I almost said Yankee Candle. No, I can't do it.
There
voice.
Was about to be some Inception.
That was about to be really
right now.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't think the world's
okay.
ready for that. How about you just answer
Here's
this question?
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail! Ah. No, we haven't done it in a while. We haven't seen Cher in a while. But
Thank
if we
God.
Do Cher,
no, no, no,
no.
I just, I still find it hilarious. We've been doing this podcast
Yankee
for
Doodle
like.
Went to town. Riding on a pony. If you could turn back time.
Listen, the only way I'm interested in you doing a Cher impression if it involves you wearing a thong on an aircraft carrier in the middle of the ocean. Because then we can chat. But until then, I still want to know how.
You're obsessed with her.
I'm not obsessed with her.
On the aircraft in a thong. That's like the third time you've said that.
That was like a seminal moment of my childhood. Like, I think that was like, it probably did something to me psychologically. Because I was a child, but I vividly remember seeing Cher in a leather jacket and a thong get up in boots on an aircraft carrier, and I remember being a young kid going, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen, and the most of a woman's anatomy I've ever seen at one time. I'm into this. And I'm sure I can probably blame Cher and that music video for lots of my deviance throughout the course of my life.
Well, now it all makes sense because you're with me. I'm basically Cher, so.
Okay, Blue, what's in the bag?
Question number one, honey. Hi, Matt and Leah. I love you guys so much. I have been with you guys since the beginning. Here's my question. I have never been in a relationship or even a date, but my mom showed this guy at her job a picture of me, and he told her he will text me after he got off work, and he did. Only problem is I have been the one texting him, and he doesn't text back until days later and says he's busy. Is that a sign he does not want to be with me, or am I reading too much into it?
What do you think?
What do you think?
I would say, well, I'm not entirely sure what the age range was of
the sender.
It sounds to me like it could just be a dude being a dude.
Yeah.
Like, if he's not looking for anything serious right now, and, oh, this woman that he works with has a cute daughter, and they, you know, may go out sometime, he may just be thinking of it like that, like surface level, just really not putting it. Now, if you guys hang out, or you feel some sort of chemistry or something, and then it's, oh, he's only texting me back once in a while, then maybe it's time for concern. But right now, considering that, at least based on the email, I don't think they've even really met or spent any sort of time together. There's always a chance he just changed his mind, and whatever reason, it didn't work. And there's no shame in that, because guess what? Not everybody's compatible with everybody else.
Yeah, I wouldn't waste your time. I mean, if he's not texting you back, don't go out of your way to be texting him more than you think. Send him a text. If he doesn't respond, well...
Sure. Also make sure that you're not sending a stalkerish amount of texts.
Yes. If we're sending text after text after text, where are you? Hello. Dot. 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 Hello. Question mark. Like, that is embarrassing.
Right. If you're sending him, there's a ratio.
Yeah.
If we're talking like a 6-to-1 ratio, where you send 6 texts and he finally replies with 1 4 days later, that might be a bit of a problem. I'm just gonna say, don't sweat too much about it, but you know, look past it, look beyond.
Question number two, honey. How do you handle long-distance relationships with you both being on the road and having busy schedules? How do you keep up and make time for each other without looking clingy?
Don't ask me. I'm Captain Cling, if you ask Leah.
He is the clingy one. He is so clingy, especially when I'm on the road and he's not. It's like...
Because, guys, let's be honest. If you had a smoke show like this that was your better half and she went anywhere, you would be like, who else is looking?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm not looking.
I'm not worried about you. I was just saying.
Well, here's the thing.
That was a compliment, by the way.
Well,
you're
thanks,
supposed to
babe.
Blush, not argue.
I am blushing. I'm smiling, aren't I? I'm not annoyed. I get it. I mean, God, it's exhausting being this good looking. I'm just kidding. Okay. I think we've figured out a formula, I think, especially before when we were on separate shows and trying to make time for each other. It was a little difficult, but we made it work.
Right.
And now we're back on the same show, so the only time we're really apart is if I'm on live events and I'm gone maybe 2 days, or if I'm on a tour or something in Europe. But besides that, for the most part, we're together.
But the question was, like, how did you make it work? Because we did make it work long distance for quite some time.
It's all about texting, calling, FaceTiming. You have to make time for each other.
But it's
got to
be regular.
Yes.
It's got to be regular and designated to where... Okay, every night or whatever the schedule permits.
Like, we know when I'm getting back in the car after a show, I'm calling you. We know that if you're going to bed, you're calling me first. As soon as you wake up in the morning, usually I'm up before you. When I wake up, I send you a text. Hey, good morning, baby, blah, blah, blah. Call me when you wake up. Then when you wake up, you call me. We have, like, our routine and our schedule down.
And the routine, when you're gone, to me, is, I think, of the utmost importance from my perspective, just because as long as we maintain some semblance of that routine, where I know I'm going to talk to you in the morning, I know I'm going to talk to you before bed, it's when those things vary that I go, what the hell are you doing? Why haven't I heard from you for 4 hours?
Right. Like, it
almost never happens. Yeah. And there's always been like a valid excuse. Right. I mean, work happens or whatever. I'm just saying more as a rule of thumb for people to go with, you know, try to establish some sort of routine. And if if that may even involve seeing each other.
Right.
You're going to have to put in the work.
Right.
If you guys are in a long-distance relationship, but only one of you wants to travel or one of you is always busy with it, things are going to get pretty hairy at some point.
You both have to, again, make an effort. You both have to try.
Hold yourselves accountable.
Yes.
Look
and just see what works for you. What are what we do when we're on the road might be different than what you're doing with your partner who lives across the country. I don't know, or in a different country from you. But you, as long as you guys have what works for you, you just have to make an effort without being, like she said, too clingy, like trying to text or call each other every hour or every... Some people might think every hour is okay. Some people might think that's too much. I don't know. It's whatever works for you. You guys have to set your little plan. Imagine if you called me every hour.
I barely want to talk to you once every
24. Yeah, right. You text me like every 5 minutes.
That's because you end every conversation with text me in 5 minutes.
Okay, whatever. Question number three, honey. I'm a huge fan and sent a link from Spotify to my girlfriend of an episode about going through each other's phones, and little did I know she became hooked to y'all's podcast too because we can relate to the problems. Ah,
welcome to the dark side.
Love that. I have a question for the mailbag, and this is for Matt. What made you realize Leah is the one? Congratulations on your engagement. We're so happy for you guys.
Well, thank you for listening, and thank you for spreading the word.
Yes.
Of the greatest relationship podcast in the history of ever.
Well, and it makes me feel good that other people listening can relate to the issues and problems we're going through.
That's the goal.
Crazy.
That's
I
basically
know.
The goal is to let anyone listening to this know that you're not a freak, you're not insane, you don't suck at relationships, and chances are you're probably not unlovable.
Well,
it's just life.
That makes me feel good about us.
Well,
that we're just...
We're goals, honey, right?
Goals?
Right?
Are we goals?
I
just
I
mean
know.
Like that we're normal. We're not... crazy that people do relate to us. Okay, like that makes me feel good. We're not psychotic.
Well, to answer the question, I think it wasn't like an aha moment. It wasn't like a particular instance where I went, oh, okay, she's the one. It was cumulative, but it was early because anyone who knows anything about us and the genesis of our relationship was we had quite a few mountains to climb.
Yes.
From a public perception standpoint, from a truth standpoint, from all sorts of different things. When you start out a relationship like we did at the bottom of the barrel, there's really only one way to go from there. But after all the smoke had started to clear and the dust had started to settle and other euphemisms and analogies, I just realized, man, if this woman stands by me at my absolute worst, which it was without a doubt the worst period of time in my life, and you didn't run screaming into the night, and I wouldn't have blamed you had you done that. But when I realized, wow, things are really bad and she's still here, and then things started getting good, and then I went, oh my God, wait a minute. Things are fine when I'm ready to, you know, jump off a cliff. Now we're back and I'm, you know, fixing myself and our relationship is growing and evolving, and it just keeps getting better and better and better, and to the point of the conversation we were having prior to recording this, I think it all boils down to accountability for both of us. But there was no like, aha, oh, well, she did this. Now I'm going to marry her. I've known for a long time. It's just kind of a matter of, you know, finding the right time to pull the trigger.
How nice is this? That it's so, I'm just so happy right now in this moment. We're in, like, we're at a, is an ebb high or a flow? Is there?
I don't know
is
which
either
is which.
One a
ebbs and
okay.
flows or ups and downs.
Well, we're
but
on
I'm
and
not
up.
Sure which,
you
yeah,
know, we're on
yeah.
and up, and it feels good. And we've been on and up for a while. Because, I mean, we've been on some downs in this on this podcast
sure.
as well, where it's like we've been in the funk and we've just been, you know,
it might
arguing.
Be interesting. It's going to be weird to be able to go back and listen to this
right.
years down the road, hopefully, when we're like, oh, my God, do you remember that was the biggest issue in our life?
Yes.
Was Matt was depressed for, like, 9 straight months?
No, but, that's not true.
But, yeah, so to answer the question, I truly believe when you know, you know.
Right. There's no one thing. Okay, if they do this, then that means they're the one you marry. Like, you can't. Everything's different, and everything is subjective.
But to be fair, I mean, even if I was a little bit on the fence, seeing you walk down the stairs in your underwear the other day really
oh
would have pushed me over the ledge, and wedding bells would be ringing at some point or another.
Well, next time you're pissed at me, that's what I'm going to do, just take all my clothes off. Be like, hi, babe.
I love it.
Let's see if it works.
We'll
put
love
it to the test.
Perfect.
Ladies, next time you're in a fight with your man,
just get naked.
Take your clothes off. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? If I tell you to put them back on, tell them to go f*** themselves.
Well, obviously they weren't. Never mind. I think we have done our work here for
yeah,
the week.
Yeah, this was good. I'm excited to go have a date night with our friends, take our clothes off.
And remember the four tenets.
Yes. Honesty.
Communication.
Sex.
And accountability.
I wonder if we'll add any more. I never thought we would have another one.
You know what we screwed up in? We should have had a t-shirt with the three tenets, and then we could have added a fourth and sold a whole new bunch of t-shirts.
We need some merch. We have a few messages on our Instagram, some DMs
cool.
about merch.
Well, if you want to make some merch with us or for us or something along those lines, or you just want to interact, bearwithuspod@gmail.com. That is the official Bear With Us mailbag. Fill it up.
Refill it. We need some questions, y'all.
And we hope you all are enjoying season two of Bear With Us. Again, we're not trying to keep teasing you and extending the suspense, but
this
you know,
is huge, you guys.
We've got some big news. We just aren't allowed to say anything about it just yet. So maybe next week.
You think by next week?
I don't know. I'm trying to be optimistic.
Oh, my gosh. Let's hope so. Let's put out into the universe. Well, I'm a mentalist now, so let me try
this
to just telepathically.
Optimistic. This one went to market. This one just came out of the swamp. I don't know. You get to sing all the time.
Maybe.
I just sang Radiohead, and you looked at me like I was ridiculous.
I'm turned on.
Good. Let's get out of here.
Bear with us.
You did it wrong. Goodbye forever.
Bear with us.
Wow.